Good morning. I'm Peter Inch, along with Dean Timpany. We are the co-hosts of the Inch by Inch, the Home Comfort Show. Excuse me. Presented by Peter Inch and Associates Heating and Air Conditioning. We thank you for listening today and hope you'll be able to listen every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 as we provide you, our listeners, with a little information about heating and air conditioning and a little bit about curling. But most important, those phone lines are open at 519-643-2222 or 1-866-354-8255. You can call in with your heating or air conditioning question, as well as beat Dean against the listeners and guess the music theme this week, and you can win a free furnace or air conditioner tune-up, whichever one you would like. So those numbers are 519-643-2222 or 1-866-354-8255. We're a two-time Consumer's Choice Award winner in the category of air conditioning heating contractor. March, of course, is Women in Construction Month. And our HVAC is holding, which is the heating, ventilation, air conditioning, is holding a meeting on March 27th, so this coming Wednesday, at the Highmark School out on Trafalgar and Crumlin area. And it's at 6:30, and we would, any, if you have a daughter or yourself would like to get involved in our industry, you're welcome to attend that meeting. We're going to have a bunch of speakers there to talk about it. Just give us a call to let us know you're coming. Steve can register you in. We also want a Team Malema, who is our junior men's curling team that we sponsor, is on their way to the Canadian Championship in Fort McMurray. They're traveling today, and it starts on March 24th. So we wish them all the best and hope they can bring back a gold medal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Be nice. So how's Dean?
I'm fantastic, Peter. How are you this morning?
Good. Did you have a good night last night?
I did. Relaxing. Didn't get up to a whole lot.
Well, I watched curling, and first game that I've really been able to watch the whole game, and we lost. So maybe I shouldn't watch any more games. But so.
And aren't they 10-1?
10 or 11-1, I think it is. And they are going, they get a bye to the semifinals. So there'll be a quarterfinal happening this morning. Winners of that will play them in the semifinals. And then the winners of the semis will go to the gold medal game. The losers will go to the bronze medal game. So it'll be nice to see. I wish Rachel's team and all the luck, and Sarah Wilkes is from London.
Yes.
So we, you know, there's a little cheering section over at the Highland that's cheering for her, but I think everybody in London should get on the bandwagon a little bit.
And if you do watch and they don't do well, you're going to be just like Josh. He's not allowed to watch the Maple Leafs anymore either.
Yeah, well, I don't think there's, you know, I won't get into Maple Leaf bashing. My Calgary Flames are not doing the best, so. We got to make sure of things. It was a busy week around the shop this week.
It was. A lot of little things going on.
Yeah. Steve and I went down to the CMPX show.
Yes. Yep.
And which is basically our industry's showcase of products. All I saw was heat pumps, heat pumps, heat pumps.
Yeah, they're everywhere now.
And but we had it was good to see some old people from the industry we hadn't seen in a few years, and we missed Doug Ford. You know, I guess we got there too late. He had come and cut the ribbon and left, so we didn't get to see him. But it was a good show. I don't miss Toronto.
No. I lived there for a while either. I don't miss it at all.
Yeah, I said to Steve, why don't we, you know, hang around till 7, then rush hour will be over, and then we'll head home. And at 7, we walked out, looked up at the Gardener, and it was a parking lot. And I said, well, I guess rush hour doesn't get over till 9. And but we went down the lake shore, and by the time we got to get on the Gardener, it had started moving.
Well, you're also battling the weather this week, too, coming back on Wednesday.
Yeah, we, from Ingersoll to Veterans Memorial, was the whiteouts.
Yeah.
You couldn't see the couldn't see the road. You didn't know if you're on the shoulder or in a lane. There was no way to tell. And it was coming down pretty good. Once we hit veterans, it was clear.
Right.
Everything was great.
Right.
We thought, okay, you know, when we hit Woodstock and didn't see it, we thought we were fine. And then we, you know, get to Ingersoll and went, okay, it's just moved a little bit south. And,
well, and as Steve said, the luck would have it, he just had his tires, yeah, snow tires removed, and then he's battling that.
Yeah, exactly. That's I'd taken the shovels and the ice melt out of all the trucks, and then next thing you know, we need it at the shop, let alone at customers' homes. So, but it was a good trip down there. I don't get excited about those anymore. I've been to enough of those that, you know, whatever they're going to show there, the reps will be in the next week or two and show us again. So it's not a big, if you want to fill a bag full of trinkets, then go to the show, because you can, people are more than happy to hand you stuff to throw in your bag.
Sure.
And we tried to get around without a bag, but that didn't work. When you had a couple of literature in your hand, then somebody was handing you a bag to put it in. So we'll go from there. But, and the Knights won last night. So 2 points, they need 3 points this weekend to claim first, so they got two. So they got one more game to play. They tie it or win it, then they claim first place.
Well, and Easton, he's 35 games now. He's extended his streak.
Maybe the Leafs better pick him up for the playoffs.
They might need him.
but he is a good player. That's I think when the Leafs chose him, I said that was a smart move.
And it looks that way.
We wish him the best when he gets there. You're listening to the Inch by Inch, the Home Comfort Show, presented by Peter Inch and Associates Heating and Air Conditioning, and we'll be right back. We're hoping you're better than Steve, Dean, you know, so that's the first song. It's Guess the Band, so it is a band this week.
Okay.
Any thoughts?
At least you went back to the 80s. I recognize it, but I don't know it off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Not yet, anyway, but I do recognize it.
Well, there's another one coming up, and we'll see. But any of the listeners out there, you can beat Dean, win a free tune-up at 519-643-2222 or 1-866-354-8255. Now, we had some questions come in the mailbag there. Should we have a rooftop unit checked on my commercial property every year?
So now we're talking commercial, and that's Steve's wheelhouse. But yes, you should have your units maintained on a regular basis. Any type of gas appliance should be maintained. But when you're talking about a commercial unit, when you got public people coming into a space, it definitely needs to be cared for. With commercial, I see in the office that we've got several commercial customers that were there every 3 months to change filters and things like that. So part of that is going to be, of course, it's going to lean towards whatever type of filtration you have and how often those filters need to be replaced, because if you don't replace them, you're going to have challenges.
And they have heat exchangers as well. And we were out on a commercial job this week and both heat exchangers were cracked and needed to be replaced. So, you know, COs coming into the home or into the office, so people can sit there and say, I'm getting headaches, and they think it's from the monitor. They think it's from the stress at work. And it could be coming from CO.
Yeah, you got to be extremely cautious with all of that. And you've got to make sure that you're looking after the equipment so there's no challenges and health risks.
Yeah, and it, like you say, if you're bringing the public into that space, you got to ensure that space is safe. So having that maintenance done, and a lot of like in our lease, we're responsible for the maintenance and maintaining the HVAC equipment.
Yes.
So you should check that as well, instead of saying, well, the landlord should look after that, make sure what it says in your lease.
Yeah, I got in the wrong side of property management.
Yeah. Now, we also had one come in that said, if I smell a natural gas leak, what should I do? And there can be different levels of a natural gas leak, all bad.
Yes.
You know, that's not saying one's worse than the other, but it can be a whiff to oh, what is that smell?
Right.
And, you know, and there's difference. But what if they'd smell any natural gas?
Well, the first
they do.
The first thing you want to do is be extremely cautious. You don't want to turn on any lights or have any electrical. But the first thing you need to do is you need to call your utility provider. So in our case here, Enbridge, and they will instruct you based on how you're talking to them and telling them what you should do from there. If it's a really bad smell and it's really strong, you need to call 911. If it's just kind of getting a whiff of it here and there, calling Enbridge, they will send somebody out. They will investigate, and then they'll provide you with instructions from there, whether a company like us can be sent out to rectify the challenge or somebody from their end has to be sent out to make sure that everything is safe for you.
Yeah, a lot of times if the fire department comes out and they will determine, you know, get you out of the house, get the place safe, ventilate to keep it below an explosion threshold.
Correct.
But Enbridge is coming out to determine exactly where that gas leak is. Then if it's on the piping that they're responsible for,
then they'll take
fix
care
it.
Of it. Yeah.
If it's on the piping that they are not responsible for, they will shut the gas off and then instruct you to have your HVAC provider or your HVAC service company to come out and repair that.
And from there, what they're responsible for is really the meter to the street.
Yeah.
And we're responsible, or the homeowner's responsible, from the meter inside the house.
And we even get, they're out changing meters now. They do it every year. You know, it depends where you're sitting. Some are 10, some are 20 years that the meter gets changed at. And then they have to go in and relight all your appliances.
Correct.
Also, they'll be looking, there's a pipe that has to go through your wall into your house, and they will be looking to see to make sure that's not corroded or swelled, we call it.
Yep.
And if it is, they will give you what we call a B tag, 42-day to repair that.
And you just went through that.
Yeah, we just had that where it went through and had to be repaired. But the original thought was, well, it's not that bad until they got the pipe out and they really see how bad it is. And the problem is you can't see that when it's in the wall. The only time you see it is when you get the whole pipe out. But the minute they determine it is rusting or swelling, they're saying replace that. It's
again, natural gas is not something you want to play around with at all.
Now, we got Janet Curtis sent us in a nice email with, I'd say, three questions.
Okay.
So I'm going to break them down into three questions, but thank you, Janet, for sending that in.
Yes, thank you very much, Janet.
Says, what are your thoughts, pros and cons, on buying out our existing rental plan on a hot water heater? The unit is 11 years old, and we have assumed the rental when we bought the property last year. So far, it hasn't presented any issues, knock on wood, but I know you folks won't service it because it's a rental. Should we expect any hidden fees or expenses in the next, or expenses? In the 60 years we have been homeowners, we have never rented any device. So we're unsure how to proceed. Renting seems like throwing money away.
And it can seem that way. There's really no right or wrong answer with that. But if your system's 11 years old, the first thing you need to determine is what the buyout is on that and if it makes sense. Average life expectancy for a water heater in our marketplace here is going to be somewhere between 10 and 14 years. So there could be some life left in the equipment. However, if you do buy it out at the end of that term or end of that life expectancy is when there could be some more repairs that need to be done. With the rental, your repairs are looked after. However, you're right. Companies like us cannot touch another company's rental appliance either.
And I mean, you really should take, you know, what's the monthly fee?
And just multiply
for example,
that out.
Yeah, they've had it 11 years. Just times that by 11 years and see what that number is.
Well, it's always going to be cheaper to own your tank in the long run if you do that through a life expectancy of the equipment. Now, there are marketplaces where you don't get that same life expectancy we do here, but with our expectancy of 10 to 14 years, I'm pretty confident in saying that you would always lose on that battle rental versus buy there.
Exactly. And a lot of, you know, like I know there's very hard water up in the St. Mary's area. with that, you know, a lot of rental water heater companies will say you have to put in a water softener.
Yes, they will.
You know, so you're not now just renting a water heater, you're renting a water softener right. or having to buy a water softener.
Now you got to factor the cost of all that in as well.
Otherwise, you'll, you know, 5-6 years,
right.
you'll be putting a new tank in because of the hardness of the water.
Yes.
So.
Yep.
Now, and, you know, it's the same thing on a tankless, whether it's a tank. In this case, it was a tank water heater, but whether it's a tankless, it's the same thing.
The same you know? Thing. You can do the math on that. And my advice to anybody that's questioning the two is you get the prices on both, sit down, do the math, and you'll likely find that purchasing is always your better way to go as far as a pure financial decision goes.
Yeah. Now, Janet had a second question is, also, Craig did a furnace maintenance check and an AC tune-up last August. Are we good to go for the AC for the summer, or do we need to do something further at this time?
Well, if you had it looked at last August, then, of course, yes, you should be fine to go ahead with the spring here and start it up. You should be good to go for the summer. The big thing you want to make sure of is that you get your appointment set for next year, if Craig hasn't done that for you, for next August, to make sure that you're looked after again for the following season. Again, if you don't have that booked, it's always wise to do so because now's the time of the year that our technicians are going to start getting really busy with maintenance. So getting your appointment booked, getting it in the system is really important.
Yeah, having it done in August, it should all be cleaned out. You know,
everything
I hope
be good.
You
yes.
put your air conditioner cover on, or if you didn't have an air conditioner cover, Craig mentioned to you, you should get one. Put your cover on there in October or November, whenever it was. So now you should be taking your cover off, even though we got a little snow. Get those air conditioner covers off. Get the wind blowing through there, drying everything out. And then, you know, if you've turned the breaker off downstairs for the winter, turn it back on. And then we're just waiting for the first warm day that you
right.
consider warm. I've already had a warm day.
Yeah.
But flip that air conditioner on and give it a try. Make sure that everything's working fine and you have no issues so that that really hot day, it's there for you and not going to let you down. And like you said, then book your appointment for the August of this year. For us to come back out, do the furnace, and do the air conditioner again. And it's great to do them all at the same time versus two separate appointments.
Yeah, it's more convenient for yourselves. Also with that, too, I can't reiterate enough, we always get half a dozen calls every year of air conditioners that aren't working, and we find out that somebody has turned it on, left that cover on. Very important to get it off early yeah. enough so that when it is needed, you don't make that mistake.
Yep, and it's, you know, it's just get the air going through. We don't want them to sweat, and that's what you get this time of year with the hot and cold. Just get the cover off, let the air blow through it. We're not going to get twigs or leaves or things like that falling
no.
down in it. So, well, you're listening to the Inch by Inch, the Home Comfort Show, presented by Peter Inch & Associates Heating and Air Conditioning, and we'll be right back. Any guesses?
I got it.
You got it? And yeah. What's your guess?
I think that it's poison.
That's correct. I just said to Dean that if I played the last song first, you would have had it on the first one. So the first one was Nothing But a Good Time.
Was that one Ride Like the Wind?
No, Talk Dirty to Me.
Okay.
The third one coming up is Ride like the Wind. And then on the way out is Every Rose Has Its Thorn.
That's one of my wife's favorite songs, so if I didn't have got that one, I'd have been in trouble. But if it wasn't for her, I never would have got poison.
Well, if it was Steve, we'd still be waiting for him to catch that. Steve's down curling in, it's called the Crazy Legs Bonspiel down in.
Well, that's fitting for him.
Yeah, and he's down in Chatham, where we started in 1927 in business. So
yep.
He's down there at the Chatham Curling Club with some couple guys from St. Thomas and a couple guys from Chatham that put the team together. So
I wish him all the best there this weekend.
Yeah, having a good time. Now, Janet Curtis, we'd answered two out of her three questions, but here's the third one. says, my one last question. When should the gas fireplace be serviced? We only use it, only use one intermittently, maybe once a week for an hour or two. The other one is we've never had on. Thanks for your advice. P.S. Craig is a very nice young man, very helpful, respectful, really enjoy your podcast.
Well, thank you very much for the feedback on Craig. He is a fantastic technician. He's very good with what he does. Your fireplaces, like any gas appliance, really should be looked at and maintained every single year. And correct me if I'm wrong, Peter, but that is also stated in the code that any gas appliance should be maintained on an annual basis, correct?
That's correct.
Also, with the fireplaces, it's important to get them maintained to keep the glass clean. Because if you get carbon that starts to build up on that glass, and if it's not cleaned on a regular basis and take it off, you're going to wreck the aesthetics of the unit as well. So it's important to make sure you clean and maintain it for safety reasons, but also for the aesthetics of the fireplace too.
And they use a one, you know, once a week for an hour or two. That's what I call regular use.
Yeah, 52 you know, times a year.
Yeah, we don't expect a gas fireplace to heat a house. They were never meant to do that. Heat a room, yes, but not heat a house. Or if you do want them to heat a house, you better have two or three working. But using them once a day or once a week, that should be looked at. The one that you've never had on, when they're out there doing the maintenance on the one you use, you might have them shut that one down.
Correct.
And turn the gas off to it, shut it down. If you're never going to use it, they can clean the glass so that it looks good.
Yep.
You know, have that maintenance done and then shut it down. And then you only have to maintain the one you're using.
Correct.
But you have to understand that, hey, if I think I'll turn that one on, well,
you want to get it looked at before you do so.
Yeah, that they're going to have to check a few things before you just flip it on at that point.
Well, thank you, Janet. We really appreciate those questions this morning.
We've had, and I heard about this down in the CMPX show, said, can you get indoor air quality solutions for your home written off on your income tax? And it's not as simple as you can get it written off. There's little works that's got to be done before that.
Yes, absolutely. The government doesn't let us just write things off without having proof that those were needed or something that is required for the household. So there are doctor's notes that you can get that state for your breathing or some sort of health concern that's there you can get. It's called a medical device for the household. And if the equipment you're putting in is rated as a medical device, then yes, it can be written off that way. But you have to make sure you do the legwork. There are insurance companies as well that'll help you with that kind of thing too, depending on the benefits that you have. They're going to look at it as a preventative thing, and they're going to help you with that. So there are a couple different avenues that you can get some of these indoor air quality devices taken care of for you financially.
And it really comes from the doctor.
Yes.
Saying, for example, a HEPA filter installed in your house would help with your breathing. Now, you can't install a HEPA filter and then open your windows and doors. Now we're trying to clean all of London.
Which you don't have a big enough HEPA filter for that.
So, you know, you've got to adjust your lifestyle with them. But if the doctor says you need a HEPA filter and writes a prescription for that, now you can... your insurance company, depending on your benefits, could look at paying that, or you could look at, again, go talk to your accountant. I'm not an accountant, and make sure that it could be covered through your income tax.
Correct.
But it starts with that doctor's note saying you need it, not, hey, I think I need a UV light and an air conditioner.
Nobody's going to help you with that. You got to make sure that it's a required thing for the household first or somebody in the house. And then from there are opportunities that you can get some help.
And there are HEPA filters that attach to a furnace. You know, it draws air out of the return, cleans it, puts it back into the return. But there are HEPA filters that are freestanding.
Correct.
Or can be... hung from the ceiling and just draw the air through. Now, when you don't have ductwork system, that HEPA filter is going to probably take most of the day to clean the air in the house.
So, yeah, you're not going to get as many turnovers and circulations throughout with one of those as you would something on your ductwork.
And it, so it's important, again, that you kind of keep the house closed up so that it can get the whole house cleaned or all the air in the house as it moves throughout the house.
Yeah, and depending on what your conditions and what your triggers are, too, keeping the home closed up with the air conditioning is going to help if it's seasonal type stuff that's the challenge for you.
Yeah, and at my, you know, I have a, mine is a MERV 13 filter I've increased to. I have a UV light in mine as well. I have an HRV to exchange the air, and then I have a furnace and air conditioner. So that is kind of my package that I have
right.
in the house. If the MERV 13 did not make my allergies better, I would be moving to a HEPA.
Right.
Would be the next thing to do because the MERV 16 will restrict the airflow too much to the furnace.
Well, and the other thing there too, as you mentioned, an HRV, a heat recovery ventilator, is important to exchange the air in the home because, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're not one that opens the windows a whole heck of a lot in your house, are you?
No, never.
So with that, you want to make sure you're getting fresh air into the house at some way or form too.
Yeah, and it, you know, changes it. I leave mine on all summer, but I size my air conditioning for that. So
yeah.
As I bring in the humidity from outside, my air conditioner is half a ton or 6,000 more BTUs of cooling to cover that humidity that I'm bringing in.
And that's all stuff that if you bring up to us, like Steve or myself, when we're in your home, we can work with you on that because it's important. If you're going to oversize the equipment, you got to make sure you got the ductwork to be able to handle that as well.
And as well as have your fan set up properly to move the air.
Correct.
And I mean, that's why it is not, you know, a lot of people say, well, why is your price different than this guy? Well, we've done the education. We are checking everything to make sure that when we're finished putting this in, you're not calling me back saying it's not doing what you said.
Well, one of the talk tracks that I've used many times in the home is, wouldn't you like to know the system's going to work before we put it in?
Yeah.
Versus afterwards. And there are individuals out there that will go the other route first. They'll put it in and then say, well, my system works fine. It's your ductwork that can't handle it.
Yeah.
Well, you need to know all those things before you invest in the equipment.
And that's why a heat loss, heat gain, to determine the what your house requires.
Correct.
And then start to look at, can it handle it?
Yes, 100%.
So it's, you know, there's a lot of science, I guess, if you want to call it.
There's more there than what the average person really thinks, because you do the heat gain, heat loss, which may give you a certain size of equipment. But if it's somebody like you, you got to ask the questions to know that they don't want to open windows, they don't want to open doors, and they want it sized a little bit because you like it cooler than most people.
Juan and I like it cooler.
Juan and, yeah. Okay.
We're the ice cube house, and then, oh, you're cold? Well, bring a sweater.
Yeah.
Because I'm not changing the temperature.
Our house is the complete opposite with my wife. She wants it hotter all the time.
Yeah, so it's...
No, my wife
it's,
does it too, but I have my portable air condition in my room, so in my studio I have the... They own one, so
very good.
My room is pretty cold.
Yeah,
the whole house is hot, so it's all good.
If the dog starts shedding, it's not cold enough. Turn it down some more. So I don't want to have to buy too many vacuum bags
right.
because I fill up from the dog shedding. So, but it's important. You know, it isn't just every HVAC company out there is the same.
No, it's not, and it's really does surprise me on a regular basis how many times I go into a home where they've had a couple of other individuals in before us and what we go through or what I go through and Steve and Murray and what the others are doing and in and out far quicker. But
yeah. Well, if you have any questions for us, phone numbers are 519-643-2222 or 1-866-354-8255. You're listening to the Inch by Inch, the Home Comfort Show, presented by Peter Inch & Associates Heating and Air Conditioning, and we'll be right back.
Hard to fight. Streets of stone. Modern warriors. Satellite horses of chrome. Taste the wild.
So you were, That's the song you recognize now?
That's the song I recognize.
Ride the Wind by Poison. And then on the way out, every rose has its thorn. We have that at work.
We do.
Steve, is he a thorn or a rose? It all depends on the day.
So. Yeah, la, 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 la. Yeah. I'm not answering that one.
So another question that came in says, I'm going to have renovations to my home. So they're going to do some work in the basement of it. And they want to know, how should I protect the furnace and air conditioner equipment?
Well, the first thing I would do there is I would check the fan setting. If you have it on the on position where you're circulating the air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, I'd probably suggest you turn that off so you're not moving that air. The other thing is frequency of filter cleaning, making sure that if you're doing a lot of drywalling and things like that, you may want to make sure you got the best filter you can put in there prior to starting, one that's not going to restrict air to the furnace. And then I would also make sure that I'm changing it maybe every other day or even weekly. At the very least, every day. Yeah, even every day. Like, depending on how much work and how much dust you got going, the more you're going to change it, the more you're going to protect your equipment. Once you're done, I would highly recommend giving us a call, getting somebody out there, going through it, cleaning it, and take anything that did get into the system, we can clean that up and take care of that before you're running the system for any periods of time afterwards.
Yeah, a filter, a one-inch filter, if you have a one-inch filter in there, changing it every day is pretty inexpensive to having to put in a new furnace because it got plugged up with drywall 100%. And burned things out. And if you got a 4 or 5 inch filter, you might go the week.
Yeah.
You might be able to get a week and then change it. And again, do that regularly. Outside, if you're doing work on, you know, eaves troughs or things like that, you might put the central air cover back on.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Now, make sure you've turned the air conditioner off at the thermostat. But put it on just so nothing drops down inside of it. And then when they've left for the day, pull it off and you can run your air conditioner. If you're going to, you know, let's say it's a 30-degree day out there and you're going to run it, you know, there isn't anything you can really do to protect it. You just talk to the workers and say,
other than talking to the guys,
you know, that they have to be very careful working around that unit. But if they drop something down in and the fan's going, it can cause damage to the fan, which then can get out of balance and end up causing a lot of problems. So if you can't shut it off because of it's either too hot of a day or you need it for medical reasons, then you just have to talk to those workers that they have to be very careful when they're working around that area.
And if you make them aware, they'll take care of it. Yeah. They'll look at it.
Yep. Most companies want you to be happy. They don't want to cause you headaches.
Well, and they don't want to be responsible either.
Yeah. So we talked a little bit about, earlier when Janice questioned about water heaters, but do I need to flush my tankless water heater?
Tankless water heaters, they're a lot like your furnace. So again, a gas appliance. So we do recommend maintenance. Part of that maintenance is, of course, a flush. If you don't take and get that calcium buildup out of that water and out of that heat exchanger in your tankless water heater, then you're going to end up with problems down the road. It may not look like it up front. It's just like changing the oil on your car. You can get away with skipping an oil change, but you're going to end up paying for it down the road. Tankless are the same. Now, you were mentioning in the office earlier this week that at the CMPX show, you saw something kind of interesting that was coming out on the tankless water heaters.
Yeah, Rinnai, we really love the Rinnai tankless. We have sold it for years. Never had headaches, works well. But they have now put a timer in the display so that when our technicians come to do a flush, they have to tell the water heater they're doing a flush. It will then bring up a timer and start counting down.
Right.
To make sure you're flushing it long enough, not, well, I'm going to flush it for 5 minutes. There we go. We're good. It's like 60-minute flush.
Right.
And our guys know enough now that first thing they do when they get there is hook it up and put it into the flush, and then they start cleaning the flame sensors, mm-hmm. looking at the – they start doing all the other part of the maintenance So why they're doing that, it's flushing the whole time. And then when they get done, there could still be 10 minutes left of the flush that it has to do. They can do all their paperwork and everything, get it ready. Now it completes the flush that took an hour. Now they put it back on, test it, make sure everything works fine, and they're in and out of your house. But companies who say tankless don't need a flush, why would the manufacturer program it into their system if it didn't need a flush?
If you look at the manual, too, it's going to tell you it needs to be flushed. But the other thing, I witnessed a flush not long ago, and I was quite amazed at the color of the water that was actually coming out. So if you ever do question whether or not you should flush it or anything like that, have it done, stand there with the guys and watch the color of that water going through there. That'll take out any questions you may have of whether or not it should be maintained and flushed out.
And it just helps with the transfer from the heat to the water quicker.
Correct.
So
absolutely.
The cleaner that is, the quicker the transfer is, more efficient the unit works. So it is a good thing to have done. Now, we had a customer that lived north of Ilderton, and they asked this question to our guys when they were out there. It says, my boiler is only 8 years old and I have to replace it now. Why would that be?
Well, that should have been the first question we asked today, because we could have done the whole show on this one. It could be any number of reasons that something went wrong and has to be replaced. So one of the first things I would mention is the most important day in the life of your comfort system, whether it's a furnace, an air conditioner, or a boiler, is the day it's installed and the people that install it for you. You can go out and buy the best piece of equipment in the world, but if it's not installed right, it's never going to work right and it's not going to give you the longevity that it should. So that's the first thing. Second thing is you got to maintain something. Any mechanical piece of equipment needs to be maintained on a regular basis. Now, I wasn't involved with this one, but maintenance is really important. So that could be the culprit. If it's not maintained, you could have all kinds of challenges with the electronics of the unit, with the heat exchanger of the unit, with there's so many different avenues that you could go on that with what could have happened and what could have gone wrong in that particular situation.
And the challenge is, like, with any system we sell, furnace, heat pump, air conditioner, we include the first year maintenance.
We do.
But when we're done that first year, we're going to say, now you need to sign up.
Correct.
And to continue this maintenance each year. And people say, well, no, I'm not doing that. It's a new piece of equipment. It will become very old pieces of equipment.
Very quickly.
If you don't maintain it.
As in 8 years.
Right. So it was done year one and then not done for another 7 years.
Yeah. And the other way to look at it is you never go out and buy a brand new car and never change the oil. It's mechanical. It needs to be maintained. It needs to be looked after. And if you treat it right, it's going to treat you right.
And that's, with the car, you know, you get a freebie when you buy the new car. So you're going to do it while I'm getting a freebie and then never do it again. And if you picture how long a car runs and how long your furnace runs or your boiler runs or your water heater runs, and you compare that to how many kilometers a year, it will add up pretty well. Maybe I should have had this oil changed in this furnace 3 or 4 times in that year.
100%.
And that's when I was young, had hair, they that was shown to me at one of the training courses I took, and they took a furnace saying running 5 hours a day. Let's just say it's going 100 kilometers an hour. How many kilometers would that be for the day times, you know, 365 days now? You know, back then you changed your oil every 2,000 to 3,000. Yep. And it was like, okay, 4 to 5 times. So it a furnace and water heater and air conditioner or heat pump, they run a lot.
Well, in any mechanical piece of equipment, the number one risk is dust. So dust and debris is in our homes all the time. And if you have dust and debris in your home, and if it's getting anywhere into that ductwork, you do need to maintain it. It's amazing how little dust can create bigger problems. 1/16th to 1/4 of an inch worth of dust on your air conditioning coil will drop your efficiencies by over 30%. So it's, you're paying for it one way or another.
Yeah.
You're either paying for it in the efficiencies, or you're going to pay for it to keep it running longer and keep it maintained and getting better comfort and better use out of it.
Exactly. Well, we want to wish Team Mulima all the best up in Fort McMurray, Alberta, into the Ontario or the Canadian Junior Men's Curling Championship. Owen Henry from London is playing on the team. Wish them the best. We wish Rachel Holman and Team Canada all the best at the Worlds out in Nova Scotia, and hope she does well. Last time she was there, I had the pleasure of putting the medal around her neck. So I hope she wins. When we're not on the radio, you can reach us at 226-499-3752 or always online at peterinch.ca. Remember, great service is only an inch away. We'll see you next week.
We both lie silently still in the dead of the night. Although we both lie close together, we feel miles apart inside. Was it something I said or something I did? Did my words not come out right? Though I tried not to hurt you, though I tried, but I guess that's why they say.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.